time of Christ. Luke starts that with going from Jesus, and he works his way backwards. And so he goes all the way from Jesus, and he goes to Mary, and he goes so on, all the way to the person of Adam. And then it says, Adam, of the Son of God. Adam was created in this perfect world, this Garden of Eden, and then sin comes in. And, Adam and Eve have that original sin, and that's when slavery starts to take its place. People are not free anymore. People have the effects of original sin. They have the concupiscence there. We have to be baptized, and we still have those effects of that original sin that come to all of us. We need God's healing. We need his mercy. We need him to make us new again. But those temptations in the desert really correspond to the time of Adam and Eve in a certain way, especially when Jesus Christ is tempted to turn that stone into bread. He's hungry. And then referring back to Genesis chapter 3, it says here, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired and make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, and then he ate it as well." So there's a correspondence there between that temptation of Christ and also from Genesis 3. And the second one that Christ goes through being tempted in the desert is to, he has tempted to have all these kingdoms, all this power given to him, that he's going to be this great God as long as he bows down before the devil. And then going back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" That is, to have the same type of power as God. And so there's that temptation there that Jesus Christ has to also overturn. And then there's the one where the devil takes him up to the parapet of the temple and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and shows him the entire world. You have all of this. And the devil's trying to create some division within the world through Jesus Christ. Of course, we know Jesus Christ came to unify everything and to bring peace, to bring his mercy, to bring jubilee. But the devil's trying to get him to take sides. He wants him to be on his side and not God the Father's side. And then, of course, going back to Genesis chapter 3 here, we have where Adam and Eve have just eaten of the fruit. They are hiding from God, and the God is looking for them. And he finds them. He asks them why they're hiding. And it says here, "The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and so I ate it.'" So he's blaming Eve. He's trying to get God to be on his side. And then it says there also that, "Then the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent beguiled me, and I ate.' And the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you.'" And he goes on and on, talking about the curse, the effects of the original sin. And he goes on to talk about the promise of a redeemer. But Adam is trying to get God to be on his side, causing division between his wife Eve. Eve is trying to get God to be on her side, causing division between her husband and the serpent, so on and so on. There's division, there's hurting, there's sadness there. And so the Lord in this time in the desert has to overturn all of those temptations and those sins there and to show who he is to the entire world, that even though he has been weak and he's been suffering through this time in the desert, not eating for 40 days and having all this time of fasting and prayer and, very cold nights and very hot days, going through all of that, the Lord has to overturn and upend all of that. And after he does so within the desert there, he goes into the temple and he proclaims that gospel that we just heard, that he is the one who has brought new freedom to his people, because people were slaves to sin. Adam and Eve became slaves. They were jailed up there. They were suffering. They had this division. They were slaves to the sin that they had committed, and they're in all the people that they had after that throughout the genealogy had the effects of that original sin, even to today, because we need to have Christ's baptism to bring us freedom. He brings us healing because of our concupiscence, the effects of original sin that we undergo. And so the Lord goes into the temple, proclaims this great jubilee that's fulfilled within his hearing, that the Lord is going to open the doors of hearts, he's going to open the doors of souls, and to bring them mercy and to bring them peace, to bring them a new sense of who they are and to make them a new creation, to give them a new beginning. And so he does for all of us. The temptations that we face and the sins that we go into, They are real struggles. They become addictions sometimes, and we can feel that we are slaves to them. But with Christ, there's always going to be hope. Christ is always going to bring us his presence there should we turn toward him and cooperate with his grace so that we can have that healing, that we can be free. And that's what Jesus Christ came to do by his cross and his resurrection, to give us freedom from our sin, to bring freedom to the world, and to do so by overturning everything as God-man, and by doing that so that we can learn what we are to do as well, to know that Christ himself brings that freedom. He provides us the help that we need, and he will continually provide that help for all of us so long as we let the door of our heart open up to his grace, because as Revelation says, he stands there, he knocks, he wants to be with all of us. He makes his presence known to all of us, and by his teachings that we'll hear all throughout the season of Lent, all throughout the Gospels, all throughout the year, really, he shows us what true freedom is, which is following him, having our will conform to him, listening to his voice, letting him be with us so that we can be with him for all eternity. That's what really Jubilee is all about. And as we go through this pilgrimage, being tempted and sometimes giving in to sin, this pilgrimage here for Lent, this pilgrimage here on this earth, as long as we walk with him and stay with him, you know, that is the hope that we have. We know the end of the story. We know that he has risen from the dead. We know that he has triumphed over sin and death. We know that he has brought his freedom to all of us, and he makes himself known to us on the altar just right now. He wants us to be free, and so we have to allow him to make us free, to cooperate with him, and let his freedom, his grace, and his love come to all of us so that we can have everything that happened because of Adam and Eve overturned because of his cross and his resurrection, his great victory. That's the Jubilee that we celebrate, and in him we place our hope. I know over the next few weeks for these talks, there will be more details about hope, more details about indulgences attached to this year, more details about his mercy. But just to kick things off with this, the first talk in this series, the Jubilee year is all about Jesus Christ and the hope that he brings to all of us. It's about the freedom that he shares with all of us, and it's about the great celebration that he has in store for all of us, because he makes us free and helps us to go after him. He wants those doors to be opened, and so we allow him to do so by bringing us his mercy, bringing us his healing, bringing us the hope that he wants us to have, so that we can continually trust in him and be with him and receive that mercy because of who he is, a great Jubilee celebration, his very presence, God-man, who has taught us how to live, how to hope, and how to trust, and most importantly, how to love and to be free. That's what he wants for all of us.